So joining us now is James Balog, who's a nature photographer and the founder and director of the Extreme Ice Survey. James, good morning.
Good morning to you. Thanks for having me.
Just help me out here. Can you just pitch to me the original pitch of your movie? I want to do a movie for National Geographic and NOVA on watching ice melt.
Well, it really, the core of it wasn't really about the movie. The core of it was that we have 27 time-lapse cameras all around the Northern Hemisphere watching these glaciers melt, and we're collecting this incredible evidence of climate change, and it's a very adventurous, very physical, very dynamic process to get out there, make these cameras work, and record what's happening in our world right now. So it actually was a really, really easy sell. It wasn't so much about the ice melting. It was about the human drama of actually getting out there and doing it.
And who would have thought how emotional it all was? Listen.
Not supposed to be able to witness things like this. Human beings don't generally get to see these massive features of the landscape changing and vanishing in front of your eyes.
Now, that soundtrack I'll compare with, like, my cup of ice here that I have in the studio. What you managed to get in these pictures that appear in your book, Extreme Ice Now, and also in the film on NOVA that you're the subject of, are, I have to say, stunning pictures that are also a little bit sad about the state of the planet. They're beautiful. They're scary. The places you went were kind of insane. How did you feel in the middle of all that, besides, as you say, feeling like you weren't on planet Earth?
Yeah, it's a strange combination of exhilarating, as you say, because it's so beautiful and dramatic and you're in these fantastic places, and eerie as well as depressing. It's eerie in the sense that you feel like you're witnessing time passing by. You feel very mortal, and you feel your own human life fluttering along at the same time you see these massive landscape features disappearing. And of course it's sad because it's such a statement about what's happening on the planet today. You know, it takes the pictures take something that seems relatively abstract to people and makes it very, very real. 95% of the glaciers on the planet outside Antarctica are melting right now. And people understand what that means. You know, it doesn't take a computer model or a PhD to understand that when ice melts, it means something.
Well, a lot of people have seen the Al Gore, you know, PowerPoint pictures from satellite shots of retreating glaciers and things. There's just something about this down at ground level that gives you a whole different impression. And I'm reminded of looking at a beautiful sunset and having somebody tug on your ear and say, you know what, if it's that colorful, that means there's something wrong with the atmosphere. You found that same kind of thing with ice, right?
Yeah. It brought it very down home and very real and very alive. I was actually motivated by the fact that I think that satellite pictures are too distant, too abstract. You know, you're too disconnected from it. But when you can see changes, incremental changes, progressive changes happening right down at ground level, in the place where human beings stand and live and relate to the planet, it gives you a whole different take on it. And it's I find it a great privilege as a photographer to be able to do this right now. At the same time, I feel a tremendous responsibility to tell the story as widely as possible.
In Greenland, how did you reconcile the beauty of the melted ice that you could see on the ice floe in Greenland with the peril that it represents?
I don't think there really is a reconciliation of that. You just deal with the dichotomies, and that's a lot of what I have tried to do with my work over the past 25 years, where I'm poking my finger into some very tough subjects in some cases, endangered species or deforestation, and now climate change. And you try and pull people in with the beauty and the drama. At the same time, you use that as a way to deliver a what can be quite a dark message, but it has to be done.
Now, where would I be most likely to have the same sort of experience? In other words, what's the most accessible place for someone to actually visit and see this ice melt firsthand?
Well, you know, Glacier National Park in Montana is a place where it's happening very, very quickly. That's, of course, right here in the lower 48, and the Pacific Northwest. The glaciers in Washington State and in Oregon, as well as in Montana, are dwindling very, very quickly. Glacier National Park probably won't have glaciers 30 to 50 years from now, if current trends continue. Another place where you can see this quite easily is in the European Alps, which are those glaciers, huge glaciers, much, much bigger than we have in the lower 48, are vanishing quite rapidly.
And what about Bolivia? You went into the Andes to some places that aren't well studied. Any surprises up there?
No, sort of the same story. It's the same story, Ecuador, Peru, Bolivia, and all the way down through Chile. You know, it's this is a global phenomenon. This is not isolated to a few oddball cases here in the Northern Hemisphere. As I said, 95% of the glaciers outside Antarctica are shrinking.
Can you give me a sense for the sculpturing of the ice that you witnessed firsthand, particularly in Greenland, where temperature is one story, but the impact of running water is quite another one on the shapes and texture of this crazy substance called ice?
Yeah, I was completely shocked at the variability that I saw in the forms and how this fantastic dynamic interaction between atmosphere, water, and ice creates this ever-changing variation in the sculptures. Variation is such a dry word. I mean, it creates these unique, fantastic art forms in each different area. The glaciers, oddly enough, in different parts of the world, produce different kinds of forms depending on local circumstances. And it's sort of this endless fascination and endless quest to try and do justice to those and celebrate them and put them on film.
So for 30 years, a nature photographer, where does this project fit into your long career?
Well, I've always believed that the intersection of humans and the environment is one of the great, great critical stories of our era. I think it's clearly a story that's going to go on for centuries, more or less indefinitely, actually. And so all of my projects have fit around this question of the relationship of humans and nature. And I feel like my entire adult life has actually led me to this ice project. It's exactly where I'm supposed to be.
Well, James Balog, thanks so much for being a part of the program this morning.
Well, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Over the last 40 years, temperatures here in Alaska have risen about 4 degrees Fahrenheit, twice as fast as the global average. Now, these rivers of ice are flowing faster and crashing even more spectacularly into the sea.
It's our guest James Balog from the movie Extreme Ice, a new Nova National Geographic co-production. It premieres Tuesday, March 24th on PBS. Check your local stations for airtimes. Nova is a production of WGBH, of course, our partners in Boston. We're still looking for your ideas on where President Obama should take his show next, besides 60 Minutes and YouTube. Here's one way to tell if his media magic will work on the American people.
If they see someone who's a Democrat, then the strategy's failing. The strategy only works if you say, I know what the president is saying to me.
That's Kathleen Hall Jamison from the University of Pennsylvania. Deconstruct the Obama media strategy at 877-8-MY-TAKE. I'm John Hockenberry. This is The Takeaway.